So what's up, everybody? It's your boy Jonathan D'Angelo, aka Johnny D, in desperate need of a haircut, and you are tuned in to another Blur View session. And today, tonight, tomorrow, this evening, chilling at your baby mama's crib, hanging out with your baby daddy after you posted on Facebook that you never speak to him again, we are talking about Static number 1 and 2 and Icon and Rocket number 1. So Milestone Comics and DC Comics finally came to terms and were able to re-release Static and Icon and Hardwire and Rocket and all these superheroes, all these black superheroes that have been waiting in the wings to be republished. So just to give you guys a quick rundown, the last time we saw Static Shock in a comic was almost 10 years ago at the restart of DC Comics' New 52. What New 52 was it was DC Comics' way of rebooting their universe for the thousandth time in order to tell the exact same story in a different way. And at the helm of that was Static, and Static had his, I think it was a 6 to 12 issue run, I believe. And it was basically a continuation of Static from after Final Crisis. So Final Crisis dropped in 2008, and then in 2011 we saw New 52. So between 2008 and 2011, Static had his run where, you know, he embraced becoming Static. He had joined the Teen Titans. He was a prominent DC super, up-and-coming DC universe main continuity superhero in his own right, and his sister had got kidnapped by one of his big bads, and she had developed superpowers, and you know, his family was coming to terms with him being Static and his sister having powers, and it was a lot. And New 52 gave us, I think, 6 issues of Static. And the conclusion of that, I kind of felt it was very loose-ended. I didn't feel like they wrapped it up very well, to be honest with you. But that was the last time we saw Static, was in 2011 for the New 52 run. Now, the reason why you haven't seen Static Shock in 9-10 years is because after Dwayne McDuffie died, the creator of Milestone Comics, DC and comics were in limbo because they had a contract, but the contract expired and DC wanted the characters, obviously, because they reprinted Static in New 52. But Milestone wanted better compensation and a better distribution deal. Understandable. Well, DC shelved Milestone and Milestone stopped printing until a deal was worked out, because the distribution deal was exclusive. So nobody could make a move. And fun fact, Static was supposed to be in Injustice 2. And they had concept art, they had Phil Lamar on standby, ready to voice Static for the Injustice 2 video game. But instead, they had to go with Black Lightning because Milestone and DC were having a property rights disagreement, and they couldn't put Static in Injustice. So we almost had Static in a video game, but it didn't happen. But 9 years later, here we are. Static number 1 is out. Static number 1 dropped last month. Static number 2 dropped this Wednesday, I believe. This Tuesday. Static number 2 dropped this Tuesday, along with Icon and Rocket. And I'm super hyped for this. I don't even think you guys understand. Static Shock is a cartoon that we all grew up on. It was the first black superhero to have their own cartoon. And not only was it the first black superhero to have it their own cartoon, but they were the first black superhero to be true to what it meant to be a black American. Back in the what's called the considered the Timverse, because the Timverse or the DC animated universe, Static Shock was a part of that universe, from his own show to Batman the Animated Series to Justice League Unlimited. And that those cartoons spanned an entire universe, probably DC's best universe to date. We all are familiar with the cult classic that is Static Shock the cartoon show and Little Romeo's god level intro. So what's this new Static Shock about? So this new Static Shock season 1 this is the cover. This is one of the covers for Static Shock number one. I didn't pick up number two because I have DC Infinite. More on that in a second. But, and this is the other alternate cover. And the alternate cover has Static's OG costume on it. And this is the costume that, this is the original costume that Milestone and Dwayne McDuffie had drawn up for Static in his original print in the 90s. So you get two arts for number two. You get two arts for number one. And basically, this is the story. This is the story of Static so far. So the story for Static so far is that Virgil Hawkins, regular black teenager, genius, growing up in Dakota, which is a fictional city in DC Comics in the Dakotaverse, because right now I don't think that the Dakota superheroes and the DC superheroes are in the same universe. I think they're actually in separate universes. So Virgil Hawkins is a regular teenager growing up in the Dakotaverse. What happens is there's a school protest that is sparked because there are some racial injustices within Dakota. And so during this protest, the police show up to disband the protest, and the people within the protest get hit with this experimental gas. And the experimental gas starts turning people into bang babies, basically. So the concept of bang baby has changed. The original concept from the cartoon was that there was a turf war ensued between two gangs in a harbor, and during the turf war, a couple of canisters of experimental gas blew up, and those exposed got superpowers. Well, in this one, it's a protest due to racial injustice, and the police shoot out like what's supposed to be experimental tear gas, and that gas causes the teenagers and anyone else that was in the area to develop superpowers. So a lot of people are upset about that because they're like, oh, you're bringing the social justice warrior aspect into comic books again, and nobody cares about racial injustice and inequality in comics. Well, okay, first of all, when you have a black comic, let's just talk about that. When you have a black comic, there's going to be racial injustice. Why? Because that is what black people in America go through, period. We've been going through it for 400 plus years. So the fact that people are upset that, you know, the topic is social injustice and not a gang war is ludicrous. Also, too, I appreciate the fact that they changed Static's origins. Why? Because instead of having a gang war or a turf war between two gangs and showing the negative stereotypes that black people carry and have carried throughout, you know, the centuries, really, especially in the last 40 years with blaxploitation and growing up in the hood movies, instead of them having a turf war or a gang war, they had us standing up for our own civil rights. So the reboot of Static actually put black people in a more positive light, not just to black people, but to any audience, anybody that decides to pick this up in general. Because now it's not Virgil Hawkins who got mixed up with the wrong crowd. It's Virgil Hawkins who is trying to fight for a better tomorrow for himself and his culture and his people. And I like that. I absolutely love that. I also like that the first villain introduced is what's his name? It's just on the tip of my tongue. Hot Streak. I like that the first villain is Hot Streak. Hot Streak, as you guys know, white kid. He's a bully. He has fire powers. He was a school bully. He's white kid. He has fire powers. I like that he's the first villain. Why? Because I would have hated to pick up a comic book penned in 2021 by a black writer and two black artists, and then the first thing I see is black on black crime. I think that would have bothered me a little bit. I think we're past that, and Virgil isn't in that kind of environment, nor was he really ever. You know, if you read Static, the original Static from the 90s, if you watch the cartoon, you know, Static being involved in a turf war between two gangs, even in the cartoon in the 90s, very reflexive of growing up in the hood. But I definitely disagreed with it because, you know, Virgil didn't even live in an area that was crime infested. Virgil didn't, you know, he didn't live in a he didn't live in a hood environment. That's not where he lived. You know, Virgil grew up in the suburbs. Like, he had two working parents. His dad's a cop. His mom's a nurse. Like, you know, he was well taken care of. He was very well to do. He was, you know, Virgil's intellect alone was fueled by, you know, high-end science programs and grants and scholarships. And, you know, Virgil, black-on-black crime is not a take I feel like Static should be in. Like, yes, there are bad people everywhere and of every race, but I'm glad that that's not the first thing I saw with this comic. I appreciate that very much, actually. The writers for Static, the writer for Static is Vita Ayala, and she's a queer Afro-Latinx writer, and she's from New York, so shout out to New York for producing, you know, somebody who can actually write, because we don't count your rappers anymore. She's done things like The Wilds, she's done Supergirl, Xena Warrior Princess, Morbius, The Living Vampire, Livewire, Submerged, and, you know, what I like about her writing is it's very black. It's very accurately, unapologetically black. You know, there's a line in Static number 2 where Virgil's parents, because his mom is alive in the comic, even though she died in the show, she's alive in the comic. Because, you know, DC doesn't like, American cartoons don't like black kids having both parents. That's not a thing. You know, the mom dies and the dad raises you, or the dad's not shit and the mom raises you. Like, they don't never... Cartoons never want to give black kids two parents, but in Static, he has both his parents alive, and they find out that Static has powers because Hot Streak attacks Static at his home, and it causes their house to catch fire. Spoiler alert, sorry. And what ends up happening is they realize, holy shit, Virgil has powers, and their parents are arguing back and forth, and his mom, who is in the medical field, is like, we need to take him in for tests, and blah, 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 and his dad is like, I'm not sending my son to no facility to get tested. He's not going to do it. I'm not making him some kind of lab rat. And his mom says, and I quote, I have been black enough. I've been black long enough and a woman long enough to know how the medical field treats our people. So, you know, what I liked about that was she, you know, to somebody who doesn't know better, that dialogue may seem forced. Like, why does she have to mention that she's black and a woman, and what does that have to do with the medical field? But if you're black, you know that we don't inherently trust the medical field because they have a long-standing history of mistreating and experimenting on black people, and in particularly black women. So I like the fact that they threw that cultural nod in there. You know, I like that Vita Ayala didn't leave anything. She didn't leave anything on the table. You know, the dialogue is slang between, you know, and it's not just Virgil. Virgil is seen as an intelligent child, but he also speaks Ebonics. He also speaks slang. You know, his parents, you can tell that they come from different areas and different regions of America because of the accent that they have or the dialogue that they speak. You know, the diction and how they use their words. And it's written very well. It's not like Black Lightning. It's not like the recent run. It's not like Black Lightning solo six-issue arc where he's speaking in Jive in 2020. Yes, that's a thing. Black Lightning speaking in Jive in the mid-2000s. And if you don't believe me, go pick up Black Lightning numbers 1 through 6 for the New 52. Or no, it's not New 52, but it's Black Lightning 1 through 6. They rebooted his story when they came out with the Black Lightning TV show. And he's speaking Jive, and it's like 2018, and he's speaking Jive. So imagine a black man walking up to you in 2018 and mentioning like Twitter and Facebook, but then calling somebody a Jive turkey. Like, very disrespectful to the culture, very inaccurate to the culture. But Static, Vita Ayala keeps it very, very, very 100, and I appreciate that. I feel like she's done her research too, because even non-black characters have specific accent and dialogue implications. You know, not everybody talks the same, and not everybody talks proper or talks Ebonics. You know, it's very like, okay, this white person in this area might sound like this, and this is what we're gonna write him at. This is how we're gonna write it, and these black people are gonna talk like this. But it's, again, it's written very well. And that's the one thing I like the most about Static, is that it's very well written. My only gripe about Static 1 and 2 so far is that it's very quickly paced. As soon as you open the book, stuff is happening. And even though, you know, we want Static to get his powers and we want him to become the superhero that we know him to be, the cult classic culture classic superhero that we know him to be, the problem is for me is that I kind of want a 6-issue build up to him coming to that point, and I'm kind of getting it quicker than I thought I was going to get it. I thought they were going to kind of sit on him being Virgil and figuring his life out and having these little skirmishes and confrontations until he realizes, hey, I need to be a hero. But it's kind of the way they introduced Hot Streak and, you know, the powers and the abilities, they're kind of just pushing the narrative forward at a quick pace. And it's not bad, because we kind of, Milestone is a big universe and we want to get to the point. You know, we don't want to see Virgil trying to figure out if he wants to be a hero for, you know, so many issues, especially when you have Icon, Rocket, Hardwire, and all these other guys running around in the same city or in the same vicinity as Static. We want to see the collaborations. We want to see the deep story arcs and the betrayals and the come ups and the heroics. So it's going at a good pace, but for me, it's a little fast. Now, Icon and Rocket. Oh, hold on, pause. So Static, I need you guys to know. So Static, the artwork you see on the cover, this artwork right here, this is the artwork you're going to get throughout the entire book, both 1 and 2. The comic artists for Static are Nicholas Draper, Ivy, and Chris Cross. Nicholas Draper he's up and coming. He's a new kid on the block. He's up and coming, but his art is absolutely amazing. If you guys find him on Instagram. I'm going to tag him in the description of this video, because I don't have his Instagram on hand, but his Twitter is at Nick Dra Paravi, at NickDraPerivy, Paravi. And it spells his name, Nick Draper Ivy. It spells it, but in a weird way. He's an absolutely phenomenal artist. Chris Cross, he is another artist, and he was actually hired by Milestone in 93 to work on Blood Syndicate, Icon, Worlds Collide, and Hardwire. He was also hired by Image Comics to do Violator, and he was doing the DC showcase in 1996, and he did Zero, Justice League, Secret Files, Gotham Gazette. He was hired by Marvel, and he's known mostly for his work on Firestorm and another black superhero. So, you know, he's black. Christopher Chris Cross is black. Nick Draper Ivy is black. So you're getting the full black experience, which means you don't have to worry about like the discoloration of skin tone, because the artists are getting it right, because they're the same skin tone. And that's another thing I like about Static. The art depicts the culture, and the culture is in the art at the same time. So, you know, you get the graffiti, you get the murals and the images, and like in the skin tone and the complexion and the, you know, our facial features accurate. They're all accurate, and it's very, very beautiful art, and I absolutely love it. So Icon and Rocket. So let me talk to you guys about Icon. So Icon is actually one of the most powerful mortal superheroes in DC Comics. He is actually more powerful than Superman, and a lot of people don't realize that, because again, Icon went out of print 9-10 years ago along with Static, because of the Milestone DC property rights issue. So Icon is black, not by default. He technically is he's like a greenish alien, but he's portrayed as a black man while he's on Earth. Excuse me. And I'm gonna tell you why. So the story of Icon is, he comes from an alien homeworld where they're actually able to shapeshift into whoever they imprint on. So, and what happens is they gain all the powers and abilities of that species at their peak and prime. So, if he crash landed, say he landed on Krypton, his body could mimic, he could transform basically into a Kryptonian. And he have all the powers of a Kryptonian at their prime, right? But he also comes with his own powers as well, just in his base alien form. Does Icon have any weaknesses? No. I don't know, because they retconned him. So I don't know what's going on with him. He's not invulnerable. I'm not going to say he's not invulnerable, but he's not invulnerable, if that makes sense. He did, in previous continuity, he beat the shit out of Superman. Like, the dog, he beat the dog shit out of Superman. him and Superman ended up in the same spot when they were converging the Dakotaverse and the DC Universe, and Icon beat the dog shit out of Superman. Like, it was bad. And for those of you listening, not on Instagram, I am on Instagram right now, Instagram Live, as I record this, so you're gonna hear me answer questions from the audience from Instagram. But Icon is definitely allergic to ignorance, and but I'm gonna get into that in a second. Good luck, Lee. But Icon comes with his own powers, and then he can also transform into, from birth, he like transforms into a baby version of whatever species he imprints upon, and then as he grows, he gets his powers plus their powers at their peak. So what happens is, in 1864, yes, 1864, think about that for a second, Icon is on a ship headed back to his home world, but he's passing through this solar system. What happens is, there's an alien that mutates into his people and disguises itself as one of Icon's species and gets aboard Icon's ship. He tries to destroy the ship, but Icon tries to stop him. But what happens is, Icon doesn't stop him in time, and the ship with Icon's people is destroyed. And the alien usurper gets away. But what Icon does is, he gets into an escape pod and crash lands in Georgia in 1864 in the middle of a plantation field. And two black brother and sister are talking about running away to freedom when Icon crashes into the field. Well, the sister goes and investigates what's going on before the slave drivers can, because the slave drivers often lived outside of the plantation manor. That way they had quicker availability to the slaves. So the brother and sister go out into the field, and the sister touches the ship. And what happens is, Icon transforms into a black baby, and he gains all these other powers because, according to him, human genetics is still in their early stages of evolution. And at our prime, we're supposed to have Superman-like of powers and abilities. Oh, 1843. Thank you. That's sourcing. Thank you. 1843. But he transforms into a black human baby and is raised through slavery, but he doesn't age. He doesn't get, after a certain point, he peaks off. He doesn't age. He doesn't die. He doesn't, his body doesn't wither or anything like that. Icon is a whole Republican. But he maintains his youth, and he looks about between 30 and 40, but he in modern day, but he maintains his youth. But he has all these extra powers from not just his own alien species, but also from, peak human evolution. And that makes him more powerful than Superman. So everybody wants Black Superman, but we have Icon. So Rocket is his sidekick, and Rocket is this regular teenage girl who, in this recent retcon, she just happens to fall in with the wrong crowd. She has a boyfriend who's not shit, but, she feels like, because she's nerdy and awkward, boys are intimidated to approach her. So she falls in with this, she gets with this boyfriend, and he's like, they like to rob houses. So she does her research on Icon's home, and it's this huge, he's this huge Victorian style mansion, and she's like, all right, we're gonna go in here, we're gonna rob the joint, and then we're gonna dip. Well, they go in and try and rob the joint, and Icon stops them and beats their ass and tells them don't come back. Well, Rocket comes back the next day and is like, well, you know what? This experience changed my life, and you have superpowers, and you have the ability to change the world, and I think you should. And Icon's like, I mean, but do I really want to, though? And she's like, well, yeah, you should. And that's how Icon and Rocket come to be. Didn't Rocket get pregnant? Rocket got pregnant in the last continuity. The last continuity prior to, if I'm not mistaken, in the last continuity prior to the reboot. Right now, she's just a teenage kid. And the one thing I didn't like about Icon and Rocket was it literally happened in the same, like, them becoming superheroes happened in the same issue. Now, for Icon, this isn't new. And they kind of allude to that at the end of the issue, that this isn't Icon's first, you know, first gig. But it literally closes with them becoming superheroes. And I'm like, nah, that happened a little quick. Didn't take much convincing. You know, just random ass girl just shows the fuck up and they just become superheroes. And I think that was a little quick for me. I kind of wanted more of a buildup and of the relationship between Icon and Rocket out the gate. Maybe like an issue or two more of them like actually developing a relationship and developing trust between the two. Because, I mean, you know, a girl robs your house and then comes back the next day and is like, hey, we should be superheroes. And it's like, okay. It was like, no, like you tried to rob me. What the fuck? Like it was just kind of very cut and dry. Like, all right, we're superheroes now. You know, like I wish there was a character buildup and development between those two. But it's still a good read. It's still a good read. I will say this. I don't think that the writing was as good as Static's. Not to say that it was bad. It was not bad. But if Static's writing was a 9, I'd say Icon and Rockets was a solid 7.5, 8. One, because of how fast the story just jumped into progression. And two, because the way they write Ebonics and dialogue was a little bit harder to read in this one than it was in Static. But that's me and that's my preference. I mean, everybody has different preferences. So, I mean, you might not agree. And that's fine. I didn't like how it was written. You know what I mean? But I feel like Static had better slang writing. But, excuse me, again, it is what it is. But I'd give the writing a 7.5, 8. The art is not exactly the same. The art style is not exactly the same as Static, but I would still give the art a 9. If I was to give Static's art a solid 10, and I am, and I'm standing by that, I would give Icon's art about a 9. Static has the best art DC has produced in years, and I stand by that. I guarantee that, and I will argue down anybody that tells me otherwise. Static Season 1 has the best art DC has published in a long fucking time. So, Icon and Rocket. Who writes this? Let me explain. So, Doug Braithwaite does the art. He's a black, and I need to emphasize the fact that everybody working on this is black. Doug Braithwaite is a black artist, and he's been working on comics since the 90s. He's been doing he did British comics first, and then he went to Marvel to work on the Earth X sequels and the Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe, Punisher Max. He did Secret Invasion Thor. He did he's done the DC limited series Justice. He's done Brave and the Bold with David Hein. He's in the game. He's been in the game, and he's been in the game for a while. And the writer is Leon Chills. Leon Chills, he's new to the comic game, but he's been writing for a while now. He's done things like The Wilds on Amazon. He's written Party Chat on Three Black Dot. He's he was the associate producer on The Black Godfather on Netflix. He was the staff writer on Spinning Out on Netflix. He also went to, fun fact, he also went to Morehouse. So, you know, he doesn't have his Morehouse degree in writing, but he did go to Morehouse. So shout out to Atlanta, one of Atlanta's own, writing the most powerful DC Comics non-celestial character. I appreciate that highly. But I will say this. The culture is in the writing in Rocket and Icon as well. I feel like Icon and Rocket is going to be more intercultural based, where you're going to have a lot of, like, issues that black people talk about amongst ourselves. Like, you know, like certain cultural behaviors and attitudes and beliefs that we have internally. I feel like that might come from Icon and Rocket, just because Icon comes from first of all, he comes from an alien homeworld, but he was a slave, right? He was a slave in 1843, and then he was part of Jim Crow, segregation, civil rights, desegregation. Like, he's seen it all, right, from 1843 onward. And, you know, slavery was abolished in 1865. He was a slave for 20 years. He was a slave for 20 years. So, you know, having conversations between Icon, who grew up in the now, having conversations between Rocket, excuse me, who grew up in the now, and Icon, who grew up, who dates back to slavery, I feel like they're going to have a lot of conflicting conversations about black culture and black people. And I'm kind of here for it. I'm honestly kind of here for it. Icon is going to be in himself a history lesson. He's a very uptight person in general, based on old continuity, and he kind of seems to give off that same vibe in the new continuity. So it's going to be interesting to see the dynamics between those two. Rocket is that awkward, nerdy black girl that, you know, just wants to live her best life but doesn't know how to go about it. And, you know, she's very enthusiastic, very ambitious, very open and out there. And it's going to be interesting to see how they tie that in. I'm actually hyped for it. And the Icon and Rocket number 2 comes out in August, along with Static number 3. What is y'all? So that's the Icon and Rocket. So I think you guys are asking me some questions here. Let me see. Out of both of them, which could you read over and over again? Static. Easy. Static. My two favorite superheroes are Miles Morales and Static. Miles Morales and Static. Like, I could read Static over and over and over and over and over again. Like, I'm patiently waiting for 3. And by patient, I mean I have no patience. I will say that if you can't get to your local comic shop, like me, sometimes I don't always have the best schedule, you can access the comics on DC Infinite. It's like $75 a year. It's what DC Universe used to be. But when AT&T bought Warner Brothers, they shifted their gears and put all of DC Universe's TV content on HBO Max, and then moved all of DC's printed content onto DC Universe and renamed it DC Infinite. It's between $75 and $79 a year, but you get all of DC's comics, old and new, and the day they drop. So I was able to read Static number 2 the day it dropped, even though I couldn't clear my schedule enough to get to a comic shop. I was still able to read Static number 2 and Icon number 1 on DC Infinite on July 27th, the day they dropped. So acknowledge and understand that if you're a comic book buff and you want to read the DC comics and you can't, DC Infinite is a great way to do so. And again, it's an annual fee, and you get all of their comics that have dropped that year, and then the old ones free, outside of the yearly subscription. I think I know why they did it. It's a way to give them the story or meet before it gets canceled, so people can start picking it up. Right, I agree. I think the reason why they rushed Static and Icon is so people would they could get to the story just in case. And it's sad to say, but because AT&T bought Warner Brothers and Warner Brothers owns DC, there's been talks of AT&T giving up DC to another entity or closing it down altogether. And so with Milestone being caught up in that rapture indirectly, they kind of want to get their stories done and out there as fast as possible so that they have them just in case something happens to them, their deal with DC, DC Comics as a whole, or even Warner Brothers. Honestly, I want Netflix to get DC, because I feel like Netflix would do DC so much more justice. But I mean, because I've seen how they did Lucifer, and they're about to have Sandman, but we'll see. Were there certain elements you wish incorporated into the story? No, for right now I'm satisfied with the story that they've given me for Static. For Icon and Rocket, I just want to make sure that they develop the characters better, because I definitely want these characters to be solid. I want their relationship to be solid. Because there's such a huge generational gap between Icon and Rocket, they're going to have to really... Icon is going to come off as more of a great-grandfather type, and Rocket is going to be like the great-grandchild type, and I can feel that very strongly. And I really need them to write that relationship, because I want conversations to be had about generational teachings, different generational teachings within our culture. I want them to explore like how the different generations of blacks thought, and their ideas, and how their ideas were expressed, and how they were developed, and how, like, you know, there's a difference between, what did they say? What did Black Lives Matter say when they first, at one of their first rallies? This isn't your granddaddy's civil rights movement. It's fact. Like, what Icon went through all those years and his ways of thinking aren't going to be the same as Rocket's. And he has the experience and the knowledge to back up the stories and teachings that he can instill upon her. And she has the new age know-how and the new age knowledge to integrate him into a forward-thinking society. So I'm really interested to see how they flesh that out, and I really want them to, because I feel like those conversations are important to the culture. Finding a positive, progressive way to bridge generational gaps within the black community is very important, and it's something that we don't often get to tackle, nor is it easy to tackle. So them doing it in a comic would be absolutely phenomenal, and that's what I'd like to see more of, for sure. I want to see revitalize the Blood Syndicate. I want to see them revitalize the Blood Syndicate. Absolutely. Blood Syndicate, I really need them to get to that point, and I really hope they do. Do I think they'll revitalize the Hardwire storyline? Absolutely, because Hardwire is actually in Static number one. So Hardwire is mentioned in Static. He's mentioned in Static number one and two, but he's definitely in number one because he's one of Virgil's professors. And he starts off as one of Virgil's professors, and then he starts off as a teacher, and then he becomes Hardwire. So he is here. He's there. And I think Hardwire number one drops sometime. Hardwire number one is going to drop sometime in the fall. So look out for Hardwire number one, because it will drop in the fall. But they did mention him already in Static number one, and in Static number two they mentioned Icon. So I mean, it's gonna all come together. But I do hope they get to the Blood Syndicate storyline. They look at all his best parts and put it into Batwing. Yeah, I don't disagree. I feel like Batwing is a knockoff Hardwire. I'm not gonna hold you, but I feel like the DC, because they don't have enough black writers on DC's main continuity, black characters fall through the cracks. But that's another conversation for another time. And then, honestly, I wish they bring back the Terrifics. For those who don't know, that's Mr. Terrific team. Yeah, I don't disagree. The Terrifics were really good, and I would love to see a team up. I would love to see them bring the Dakotaverse into the main continuity and them team up with black superheroes from DC, like Vixen, Cyborg, Mr. Terrific, Batwing, Signal. I would really love to see Nubia. I would love to see a Justice League with all black heroes, with like Icon, Static, Nubia. Like, they have the roster for it. Batwing. Like, I just don't know if they're gonna do it. I'm gonna say this. We need to get Milestone over the hurdle of republication. We need to get Milestone over the hurdle of republication first, and then we'll see where it goes. That's the key, honestly. Do you think Netflix has the budget for DC Comics? I absolutely think Netflix has the budget for DC Comics, and I know that they'll have a bigger budget if they obtain DC Comics. Even if Netflix bought DC Comics and just started with animated series first, which we know Netflix can do a damn good animated series because we saw Castlevania. I'm just going to Castlevania. That's all I'm going to say. Castlevania. Like, if Netflix was to get DC and do animated content alone, I feel like they would definitely be able to capitalize. And Netflix is not shy about using black people for black content, and that's very important. So Netflix would have the advantage of freedom of creativity that Warner Brothers doesn't have or won't allow. And so I think Netflix would definitely do really well with DC Comics. I don't trust Amazon, but I definitely trust Netflix. HBO needs to make street-level DC shows. I absolutely agree. Michael B. Jordan's Black Superman is going to be HBO Max exclusive, and I still don't care for it because I have Icon. let's see. Y'all got any other questions for me before I dip out of here? Because otherwise, I got to go. I feel like if they were to bring the Dakotaverse into the forefront, they would lose interest quickly and drop all the stories. I think that if they brought the Dakotaverse to the forefront, it would actually boost DC Comics sales because the black audience that they've been so desperate to capture through Future State, they lost us when they discontinued Batwing, but they tried to bring us back with Future State and Nubia, but because it was recycled content and it wasn't actual original stories, we didn't care. Silencer was a black anti-hero. She was a black woman. She was a black mom who was an assassin for Ra's al Ghul and Talia al Ghul, and she had a great story, and they put her on Arrow TV show, and her character was trash on that show, as most characters are in the Arrowverse, and then they stopped writing her prints, and they stopped the Terrifics. So DC, and I don't know if it's DC or Warner Brothers or both, but I feel like if DC was to integrate the Dakotaverse into the main continuity, it would make for great stories, but I think it would make for predictable ones too. Like Static will go to the Teen Titans, no shit. Like Icon will probably be part of Justice League or Justice Society or something. But I think what needs to happen is if they're gonna integrate Milestone into DC, they need to make them. I think they need to push They need to push Milestone to the forefront and DC to the back burner. Like, have Static with Robin, but Robin is the side bitch. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's Static's story. Have Icon with Superman, but Superman is the side bitch. Like, I don't... Like, when Static and Icon come onto the scene, I don't give a fuck about Clark Kent. Like, I just need y'all to understand. If Static and Icon are in the same comic, I don't give a fuck about Clark Kent. Because, one, he's the weaker of the two anyway. And, two, Icon is that he's that nigga. So if they're gonna integrate like Hardwire and Batman is gonna have to like take a step back, and Hardwire is gonna have to shine. You know, DC is very desperate for POC views and numbers and such. So, you know, they've been trying to do Black Superman, Nubia, Future State with Black Batman, Black Batwoman, you know, and it's Black Flash characters. It hasn't been working because they're not doing it right. But if Milestone is in charge of the integrated stories between Milestone and DC, it will get done right. But that's something that DC would have to consider. But again, I feel like that's another conversation that I can go into all on its own. But listen, I appreciate y'all rocking with your boy. I will be doing reviews on every Milestone comic that drops. Every Milestone comic that drops, I will be on here ready and willing to talk about it with you guys. It's not a problem. I need you guys to go pick up Static number one. All right? Go pick up Static number one. Go pick up Static number two. Go pick up Icon and Rocket number one. And you guys, support this black business. Milestone came back from the woods. And gave us black content for black people. For us, by us. And we need to support that heavy. And even if you're not black and you're listening to this, go check out Milestone Season 1. It is amazing. It's amazing art. It's amazing writing. It's amazing content. And it's new and it's refreshing. And it's different from the mundane DC storylines that we get over and over and over again. Think of it as a DC Elseworlds, because that's what it is. It's a different universe altogether. So think of it as a DC Elseworlds, a better DC, because DC stories are always better when it's not main continuity. So you guys definitely support black business, support black art, support black literature, because that's what this is. You guys support me because I'm bringing you this content. Your boy Jonathan D'Angelo, aka Johnny D, NekoYasha09, Mermaid Moonchild, Burning Star Official. We are out here. And I am gonna let y'all go enjoy the rest of y'all's Friday. Peace. I will catch y'all next time. I'll holler at y'all. Thank you for listening.